Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Cinephile, you're listening to Big Fred Venice from the 78th Venice Film Festival. I'm Matt Micucci.
I'm Nicola Comotti.
And we are media partners of the festival and every one of its sections, including the sections that we don't even know about and that nobody knows about, but we only know about. And it's best that people don't know about them. Let's just put it that way.
Three mazes.
Nicola, how are you doing?
I'm good. No, sort of, actually. Let me vent.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
All right. So, first off, Nicola, before we begin talking about the movies, we're really here for one thing, the parties and the ladies.
Why are you so obsessed?
I'm actually not here for the lazy. For the ladies. I'm happily
we're here for
engaged.
The ladies.
No, I'm not engaged.
So, you went to a party last night, and you've got to tell us about it because it was on a boat.
That's it. We were on a boat.
Ah, come on.
We were on a boat.
Give us some scoops.
My technicians were busting some real moves on that deck.
Now,
also, you need to know that, like, Pierre right away, like in
Pierre,
the producer today is
producer
a very,
today.
Very, very talented producer and DJ, and
okay.
He just like. It was funning out because Baldelli. DJ
Daniele Baldelli
is like a historical figure in the scene, and he was playing only, I mean, amazing stuff, really.
Right.
The crowd was kind of like what you expect in film festivals, so very stiff. But, you know, we had fun, and it was an open bar.
Oh, well, there you go. The festival I decided not to drink, of course, there'd be an open bar. So how much drinking did you guys do?
Enough.
Okay, so what were the ladies like?
My God.
There were people from both sexes. And
what were the guys like?
All actually, not both, because sex is a construct that
what
we are
What would you say is
dismantle.
The fashion designer that they were wearing the most?
You never let me finish the answers.
Know,
like, why
I'm
do you
sorry.
Ask me so many? Fashion designer. There were a lot of, like, slight sandals. A lot of sandals. Sandals.
Okay. We could talk about that more, but I think we need to get to the movies, otherwise they will...
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, yeah. We don't want to get in trouble.
Okay.
We don't want to get in trouble.
The
this is the Venice
Insider.
Film Festival, and let's go. Oh, I thought we had a theme tune sorted out. Sorry. We need to get a song to get to, like, you know, start the shows
I will talk about
with.
Something today.
No, let me just... Okay, first up, the big movie, one of the biggest movies of this year's Venice Film Festival, let's face it. Paolo Sorrentino's latest flick. It is a Netflix production, actually.
Mm.
And it will be out all over the world, probably, on
but
the
you
14th.
Know, okay, on the 14th of September.
Possibly,
so
I think
only
so.
Only a
yeah.
week, really, to go around the good old-fashioned
I don't know whether it'll
screening?
Be... That's a good question. I don't know whether it'll be out theatrically first and then on the media, on the Netflix platform, but I'm certain that it won't be long until it'll be available on Netflix. So, you know, guys, if you missed it here in Venice, you'll have a chance to catch it. Of course, we're talking about The Hand of God. Now, would you like me to read the synopsis? It's not much of a synopsis.
You can,
really.
Yeah, exactly. It's very quick now, yeah.
It's the story of a boy in tumultuous Naples of the 1980s. Sorrentino's most personal film yet is a tale of fate and family, sports and cinema, love and loss. I'm told this is his most personal film by IMDb.com.
Yeah.
Is that true? You talked to him as well.
Well, yeah, it's by far the most personal, also because it's literally, like, autobiographical, although there might be some sort of, you know, narrative take in it, but we're talking about the adolescence of Sorrentino's in Naples, when he was, like, a sort of shy and introverted teenager.
Mm.
And it's really like a coming-of-age movie, you know, if you see it that way. And the leitmotif is the arrival, you know, the sort of like the rumors about the coming of Maradona from Barcelona to such a smaller reality like Naples, you know, the football team.
Yeah.
And
which will probably, nothing like that will ever happen again.
I really don't. Actually, when you think about it, especially like, you know, the state of football is something that will never, ever happen again.
But now Napoli is a big team now, but it wasn't really back then. So, yeah. Have you counted how many times Maradona was mentioned in the movie?
No, but a few.
I'd like to
it's
do
got
that.
This sort of like, it's really cute because like it's got this very mystical. You never really see him apart from like, you know, from maybe sometimes like in trainings, or it's always sort of like, is it him? Is it not? So it really, especially in Naples, you know how godlike the figure of Maradona was perceived, and it's sort of the. It's almost a little touch that we always have in Sorrentino's films of the surreal, you know, the spiritual, the mystical, and then it's personified in Maradona. But it's way more than that. It's a really intimate film. The familiarity from the Italian audience, as well, of course, as the international, would be just a slice of life of classic Neapolitan vigor, classic Neapolitan, like, strength. I was moved a few times. Cool. I'm not gonna lie.
I like Sorrentino. I'm happy to.
I'm really happy because of this film, because it's sort of like a veering towards something that maybe will open a new chapter in his milieu, in his filmmaking.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, I really loved it. Yeah. I think I loved it.
Okay. So two things. Last night, Italy played. Did they win? Does anybody know?
I don't know football anymore.
And another thing we should mention, you know, because we're talking about Naples, Chiara Nicoletti. Obviously, you probably mentioned she's not here this year. So we're thinking of you, Chiara. Big things are happening, and I just wanted to mention if she's watching, we're with you. And
she's creating, you know, 1 year by like every 2 years or 1 year, she's
and
making
it's unbelievable.
Her own football team.
Can I tell you? Well,
Nicoletti FC.
I'll tell you something, man. It's weird that Chiara's not here, isn't it?
I mean, it is very weird.
It's weird.
I had an existential crisis.
We miss you, Chiara.
I started eating baba.
Yeah, yeah.
And drinking cafe ole.
Explain to the folks at home, what are baba?
Baba. It's like this very specific, endemically Neapolitan piece of pastry, drenched in rum, and shoved in your mouth, directly from the baker. No, it usually doesn't happen.
That's our sponsor.
Yes.
All right, folks.
I actually never seen her eat a baba. I was just like, using stereotypes. I'm sorry, Neapolitan people. I love you. I wish I were you.
We've got to move on, unfortunately, because I would love to talk more about Baba. But let's talk about. Let's just mention a movie that neither of us have seen, but we both wanted to really see.
Oh God, yes. Oh God, yeah.
All right, so we got to mention it. It's Paul Schrader, one of the most exciting screenwriters, one of the most influential screenwriters in American cinema of probably all time. You know, he wrote Taxi Driver, Raging Bull. Then he became a great filmmaker in his own right, and in his later years, he's becoming better and better. He's presenting a film in the official competition called The Card Counter. You've probably seen ads for it because, I mean, they're playing everywhere. If you watch TV, they usually... So you probably know what it's about. But
that is not a Netflix production.
No.
Okay.
It's presented by Martin Scorsese, though.
Right.
So it probably... Yeah.
And when you think... Do we know actually the actual release?
Probably soon. But it's the ads are definitely on TV, so it might be a matter of 1 week or 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Because that's the thing. I don't think we're going to have the chance to watch it because everyone has booked probably multiple tickets.
No. We'll watch it after the festival. But we just had to mention it. Oscar Isaac, Willem Dafoe, great cast, really. And it's a revenge thriller telling the story of an ex-military interrogator turned gambler haunted by the ghosts of his past. Now, Niccolò Camotti, can you tell us about a ghost of your past? No. Better not. All right, so next up. Okay, so...
Moving on.
Do you want to talk about Trenches? Very briefly.
Also, I just interviewed him, so like, go and check out the podcast.
It was very
brief but intense. Lupe Roux.
About the war in Ukraine.
War journalist. Already had an incredible past. You can see his experience all put into this film. Extremely painterly and a very aesthetic piece of documentary. And yet, we are literally in the trenches.
Right.
In the Battle of Donbass, so like the borders between what is actually still Ukraine and the newly acquired Crimea.
Wow.
It's just like a very... It's like a slice of life of what it would be when you actually live a very mundane life, but death is always present.
Wow.
That's it.
And so it's my turn to talk about something, man, because I haven't even said anything.
Let
so
me rest.
This film is from the Orizzonti section. It's titled The Hole in the Fence. And can you read the synopsis?
Are they pointed at me?
The Hole in the Fence.
Just use your finger so I can follow it. The first...
Really?
Yes. Go on.
I'll hold the microphone.
The first year students of an elite religious school attend an integration camp outside the city. the tranquility is soon dissolved when a violent hole is found in the perimeter of the fence. This event creates a chain of mysterious incidents that will reveal a system created by the tutors to inspect a fundamentalist war in the teenagers' minds. What?
Okay, so as you can tell, really the synopsis makes it seem more complicated than it is.
I guess.
You want to find out more about it? I interviewed the director, Joaquin Del Paso, and he's also in the film, but to be honest, I didn't recognize him. Oh, it's already on YouTube, guys, so check it out. It's not my best interview. So check out the other ones I did. It wasn't that good. The other ones I did.
Mamikuchi is very modest.
He
says that he's ugly, but we can all see that it's a beautiful piece of stud. Ladies, since he's so obsessed with them, you know, just give him a call.
Ladies!
Have you
ever seen The Nutty Professor? Jerry Lewis.
Yes, we did.
Hey, ladies! All right. Well, it's a good movie.
Move on.
It's a good movie. Move on. Check out the interview if you really want to, but it's not my best one. As far as the movie is concerned, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Moving on.
Nice. Diplomatic.
Okay, last one for me, and I think last one for the show, before we mention what we will be talking about tomorrow. So, it's called Californie. It's an Italian film.
Oh, it's an Italian film. Should I put, my best Italian...
Yeah. No.
The film straddles documentary and fiction and follows Jamila, a Moroccan girl with this... I don't really know how to do Italian accent anymore.
I'll do it. I can do it. The film straddles the documentary and fiction and follows Jamila, a Moroccan girl with the street smarts from ages 9 to 14 as she grows up in a small Italian town.
You're not that good either.
But I'm not trying to do Super Mario.
No,
but anyways,
nobody wants. Anyway, so
try it again.
No. Tell me about this film.
Well, actually, we made fun of the freaking thing, but it's a good film. It's a really good documentary.
By Alessandro Castiglioni and Casey Kaufman.
Yeah, okay. And it's a good film. I mean, it's just a young girl, and it has the semblance of a documentary. It's a coming of age drama, I guess, because it does really feel like a documentary, and. It's based on the life of the protagonist, who is supposedly the actress of the film, but really it's based on her life. And it's set in a small town, I think Torre Annunziata, which is kind of near Naples, but it's not Naples. It's its own little microcosm. And obviously it also talks about what it's like to be like a Moroccan young girl growing up in sort of a lower class family and just, you know, you don't really have a normal kind of middle class life that, you know, most kids growing up in Italy would have.
Yeah.
So she doesn't go to school. She works at 12 or 13, you know, and it's normal life for her. I loved it. I mean, I love these types of films, especially coming of age hybrid documentary narrative features, because I find that essentially the coming of age movies that we get with young protagonists are just so... The ones that we see, anyways, the ones that are readily available to the public, are just so mediocre, you know? Mm. And they're so surreal. And
why? Because you think they're too shallow?
Very, very, very shallow. Mm. But something like this is totally fascinating because to me, even though I was born in Italy and obviously I come back and grew up in Ireland, but... It's a part of Italy that I don't know. But even if you're not interested in Italian society or anything like that, it's still fascinating, you know, to see that there's people that have such a different upbringing from you because of reasons that are beyond, you know, there's nothing that they can help.
Absolutely.
So it's fascinating. I did interview the directors of the film, and I'm happy to say that it is a film that I'm recommending. It's quiet because it's in the Giornate degli Autori strand. Mm-hmm. But hey. I mean, you know, it's not only always about the main...
you can always find some gems in the...
Yeah, Giornate degli Autori is a good strand, you know. They're totally independent and parallel, and they just very varied program, and well done. Congratulations!
Keep going, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about some of the films that we will... Okay, so it's time to relax. Now we can relax because the show's almost over. So let me tell you about a couple of the...
Coochie.
Can I tell you something, by the way? I'm not a fan of these chairs. I know Sorrentino loved them. Can we say it?
Fred survived solely on the swinging power of this element here.
I know, but they're
you
so low.
Not
If you watch the videos, my freaking leg, everyone's freaking legs look like twice as big as they are.
It's okay. People will be pleasantly surprised when they see you live in the flesh.
I don't know. I'm very elusive. They just don't like this show. It's great to be.
Harshest critics in our producers.
No, the reason is that they want to go eat because they're freaking human beings, whereas I'm a machine. I never eat.
You're a little Furby, aren't you?
I drink sparkling water a lot.
Do you remember Furbies, guys?
No. Yeah, I do. Yeah. No. Did you ever teach it to say swear words?
I
took, you know another
I
toy?
I took the batteries off.
You know another toy I've been thinking about lately? Tamagotchis. Did you have
90s.
One of those?
Yeah, I got the knockoff version.
Remember how people were like worried that it would like corrupt the youth?
I know. And look where we are now.
So yeah, it's true. It did corrupt us. Guys, what films are we going to talk about tomorrow? There's a couple of really big ones. Dune by Danny Villeneuve.
Yeah, that's true.
And Spencer, which you actually have seen, which you can't talk about, by Pablo Larraín. And then that's it. And
there's a few, but like we can probably just tell you tune in tomorrow.
Yeah, we can't tell you what we thought about it.
Listen to us once again.
Listen to us once again. So for now,
one day at a time,
ladies and gentlemen, it's been emotional. It's been great. So cinephile, you're listening to the Big Fred Tuesday, and that's it. That's that and done. Stay healthy, stay safe, stay strong, stay cinephile, and stay tuned to Fred Film Radio, the festival
insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.